बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
त्रैविध्यम कुर्वतः कर्म फलाभिव्यक्ति हेतवः।
The Yamdutas said, Our dear Lord, how many controllers or the rulers are there in this material world? How many causes are responsible for manifesting the various results of activities performed under the three modes of material nature, Sattvagun, Rajagun and Tamagun?
Kati santiha shastaro, how many controllers are there in this world? Jiva lokasya vai prabho in this world? Traividhyam kurvatah karma. How many causes are responsible for manifesting the various results performed under three modes? So, the disposition in which the Yamadutas are asking this question is a mood of frustration, a mood of humiliation, embarrassment, defeat. In that mood they are asking. It's not a regular enquiry. How many controllers are there? It's not an innocent enquiry. It's a loaded question. It's a question to attack or challenge or... Like, lot of disappointment is there behind this question. Right? So, defeated Yamadutas are speaking in anger. They were angry also. If a servant cannot carry out the orders of his master without being defeated, what is the use of such a master? What is the use of such a powerless master? In that mood they are asking. Though we defeat everybody in the world, and everybody means they are thinking that they are like the bosses, they never experience any failure only. Because wherever police people go, people will surrender to police. So they are in that mood. First time somebody started attacking a police only. Defeating a police only, so they are a bit disappointed with this. We suffer defeat from four people with four arms each. Right? So after punishing them, we will bring Ajamil here. If you can't do that, you are useless. Right? In that mood they were... if we can't do that, you are like a firefly. We are serving a firefly. So in that mood they are attacking Yamaraj. After this, we cannot serve you anymore. You are powerless. Thinking in this way internally, I mean, one thing is because of the culture and sobriety and etiquette, the magnitude of frustration within may not come in the mouth. Mind is screaming like hell, but a cultured subordinate will keep his mouth shut or at least release only little bit of it, not completely. Because of etiquette factor or respect or whatever. But Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur presents it in a very intense manner. We are serving a firefly, like that he says, to bring in some nice conversation tone there. So when Yamadutas approached Yamaraj like this, Yamaraj did not become angry at them. He did not become angry because Yamadutas disrespected him. Since he knew that when someone is in distress, he should empathize with him. A distressful person cannot follow proper etiquette. Once Shivananda Sen was kicked by Lord Nityananda on his chest. Seeing that Srikant Sen got affected. So how can he do like that? Shivananda Sen is sponsoring the whole travel expenses and then accommodation and prasadam. He is arranging everything for all the Bengal devotees to travel from Navadvip all the way to this place. Puri, Jagannath Puri, he is making all arrangements and this is how Nityananda Prabhu is reciprocating with him. He is kicking on the chest. So he was a bit disturbed and then he left the party and went alone to Jagannath Puri. And he met Lord Chaitanya. He offered obeisances without removing his shirt. Then Govinda told, hey, you are offering obeisances to the Lord, Sannyasi. You should follow proper etiquette. With shirt, you can't just go into the altar. You should wear uttariya and then go. right? Similarly, when you are offering obeisances to Lord Chaitanya, you should be doing like that. And Lord Chaitanya will go in there, relax. You should not correct him now. When someone is in distress, in anxiety, he should not give him such correction. Because if you give correction in a wrong context, the person will lose the ability to take that correction even after he comes into proper mood also. You should wait for the right time when he is able to receive that correction. So Yamaraj also did not speak a single word now. After this first verse, he was waiting. So one needs to empathize with the affected party. Yes, there somebody who comes to us with in a distressful mood, may be in distress out of their stupidity also, but still it becomes our responsibility to empathetically hear him. He begins his first sentence, introduction, you conclude his thing. Then you just go. At least you should give him an opportunity to express himself as much as possible. Of course, we also don't have so much bandwidth to hear everybody's problem elaborately. That also we need to see. But in general, a distressful person likes to be heard. So he should not be cut down immediately. Yamaraj had all authority to make them keep quiet, but he was very empathetically hearing. So because of that hearing, he could bring a positive difference in the whole situation. Because these Yamadutas are agitated, seeing their agitation and anger, if Yamaraj also gets agitated and becomes angry, what will happen? There will be a big jagada within Yamalok. But that did not happen. Kulinim seminar happened in Yamaraj, in Yamalok. So that means, that is all because of the sobriety and gentleness and maturity of Yamaraj. So Yamadutas were unsuccessful in carrying out the orders of Yamaraj. They doubted whether Yamaraj was actually having the power to punish the sinful people, or are there some other authorities, higher authorities, who can punish? Can he take a call? At least within this area, he should have some autonomy to take a call. So they were challenging him. They say, Yadisyur bahavo lokem shastaro dandadharinaha kasyasyatam navakasyam mrityuschamritamevava. Read the translation. Where is that devotee? Okay, someone can read.
If in this universe there are many rulers and justices who disagree about punishment and reward, their contradictory actions will influence each other and no one will be punished or rewarded. Otherwise, if their contradictory acts fail to neutralize each other, everyone will have to be both punished and rewarded.
So, there could be multiple authorities because there are so many departments. But all these department heads should agree with a common set of protocols and policies. So, when some issue comes, everyone should be able to give a similar decision. Right? In a sense. If someone says he should be punished, someone else says he should be rewarded, and their things are totally opposite, their opinions are totally opposite, that will only create confusion. Right? Yadisyur bahavo loke shastaro dandadharinaha kasya syatam navakasya mrityuschamritam evava. If many authorities give different contradictory judgments, a person might be wrongly punished or wrongly rewarded. Or he may not be punished, he may not be rewarded only. So in the material world, a person punished in one court may appeal to another. There are different judgments. Okay, local court rejected. Let's put the case in Supreme Court, High Court. People will go from one court to another court because there is not much common agreement. In the laws of nature or court of Supreme Personality of Godhead, there cannot be such contradictory judgments. The judges and their judgments must be perfect and free from contradictions. Now, there could be apparently some contradictions in the explanations of acharyas also. One acharya presents one verse of Bhagavatam in this perspective, another acharya presents in a different perspective. Sometimes they may seem little opposite also, right? But that has to be seen as variety and not contradiction. So same verse can be viewed in different ways. Right in the first canto, first chapter, first verse, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur presents five different facets of the first verse. This verse is speaking about bhakti yoga. No, this verse is speaking about Radha Krishna. This verse is speaking about conjugal rasa. This verse is speaking about absolute truth. All this can be simultaneously true from one acharya, and another acharya gives some other explanation also. So that such kind of things should not be seen as contradiction, that has to be seen as variety. So if an object can be seen from this direction, it gives certain insight. From that direction, someone else who is standing in that direction, he will see the object in a different manner. Right? All these are spiritual angles, and all of them agree to this one common point. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayastadhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhu Vargena Vakalpita. A certain way of explaining certain verse, an illuminating explanation on that verse to present, to highlight bhakti yoga, to glorify Krishna, that details could vary from one acharya to another acharya. Sometimes, not always, rarely. So, to completely eradicate Mayavad, Madhvacharya said that even Lakshmi and Brahma are also Jivatattva. Right? Just to mention like that. So we hear this. Only Krishna and Vishnu, they are Vishnu Tattva. But internally he knows the actual position. So Yamaraj, now you see, he had to absorb the shock of disrespect from Vishnu Dutas and Yamadutas. Yamadutas are disrespecting him, and Vishnu Dutas already defeated his servants. Because when a servant is defeated in executing the order of a master, the defeat is actually belong to the master. Right? So, next. Yamaraj's awkward position in Ajamil's case, Prabhupada writes, Yamadutas were right in attempting to arrest Ajamil, but Vishnu Dutas had baffled them. Yamadutas were accused by both Vishnu Dutas and Yamadutas. Yet he is perfect in administering justice because he is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He will explain what his real position is and how everyone is controlled by the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead. So when our own master or our own God brothers and God sisters, if they find fault in us, although we know that there is a mistake on our part, we feel bad, we feel embarrassed. My own people are pointing me out. My own people are defeating me. My own people are just nullifying and invalidating, making my decisions and my actions invalid, neutralizing. Right? So it's a bit disappointing. So one needs to be very broad-minded and humble to receive such embarrassment without getting offended. It's not actually embarrassment if one is in the right consciousness. See the outcome. A sinful soul should be punished. A sinless soul should be released. When a sinless soul is being punished unnecessarily, Vishnu Dutas intruded. Not that Vishnu Dutas are intruding in every case that Yamaraj is handling. Only one case they came. It's a special case. Yamaraj could understand this exceptional case, and he did not feel inimical towards Vishnu Dutas. He did not feel inimical towards the Lord. But Vishnu Dutta spontaneously did it without updating Yamaraj. And Vishnu had sent Vishnu Dutta spontaneously without updating Yamaraj. So, at least in this world, somebody may be saying that, okay, fine, even if my decision is wrong, at least you should make a phone call to me, you should write a letter to me, you should write a mail to me, and then discuss with me before just nullifying my jurisdiction, before operating on my subordinates. How can you touch them? How can you engage them? How can you instruct them without going through me? So all this will happen in this world. But in the spiritual circles, when there is a deep trust between the master and servant, the servant will not feel offended when the master is surpassing the servant's autonomy. Generally, Krishna doesn't do that. He respected Brahmaji's benediction, morning. Sometime back we were discussing, right? But In Yamaraj's case, he directly took an action without updating Yamaraj or doing anything. But still, Yamaraj was able to understand this because he was very broad-minded and humble. Kintu shastru bhutvesyad bahutvesyad bahu namiha karminam shastrittvam upacharohi yatha mandalavartinam.
The Yamadutta Das continued, since there are many different karmis or workers, there may be different judges or rulers to give them justice. But just as one central emperor controls different department rulers, there must be one supreme controller to guide all the judges.
Yamadutta wanted to know who is that central judge. Yes, we understand there may be someone who is superior to you also. And there may be someone who is equal to you also. There are so many multiple department heads. But all of them should agree to one common law. Their problem is not that there are multiple authorities, but their problem is why different authorities are having different opinions. They should agree to one opinion. That's their problem. So law must be one. In government management, there may be different department officials to give justice, but the law must be one. And that central law must control everyone. Atastvam eko bhutanam sarseshwaranam adhishwaraham shastadandadharo nrunam shubhashubhavichetanaham vivechanaham.
The supreme judge must be one, not many. It was our understanding that you are the supreme judge and that you have jurisdiction even over the demigods. Our impression was that you are the master of all living entities, the supreme authority who discriminates between the pious and impious activities of all human beings.
As far as discriminating pious and impious activities of people is concerned, as far as punishing sinful souls is concerned, we thought you are the boss, you are the supreme judge in this area, in this department. Is there someone else also who takes a call in this? We thought you are this department head. We know how to produce rain and how to do something else in the universal affair. You may not be involved, but in this area, you are the supreme judge. But why someone else is coming and intruding into this jurisdiction? So, tasyate vihito dando naloke vartate dhunam chaturbhir adbhutaihi siddhair ajnati vipralambhitam. Your order has been transgressed by Vishnu Dutas. Please read, Prabhu.
But now we see that the punishment ordained under your authority is no longer effective, since your order has been transgressed by four wonderful and perfect persons.
Four wonderful people came and defeated your order. So Yamadutas' impression on Yama is, Yamaraj was the only person who is administering justice, and they were fully confident. No one could counteract his judgments. But now they are surprised. So, even one black spot in a master, even one failure of a master or a leader will create doubt in the follower. Sometimes it's the undue expectation of a follower also to make the master as God, to make the leader as God. Our leader means us. Whatever he says is final. But when that is, when people are expecting leader to be like that, then to that extent they will be frustrated when there is some failure here and there. Right? So, now Yamadutas are disappointed now. But Yamaraj is not like that. Yamadutas may be identifying Yamaraj as the ultimate leader. He is the best personality. No one is above him in this area. He is the boss. But Yamaraj did not have that consciousness. Yeah, if my jurisdiction is intruded by the Supreme Lord, what's the problem? No problem. He is more broad-minded. Right? He is not obsessed with that false identification with his position so much. I should take a call. Why someone else is coming and taking a call in my arena? Yamaraj does not have that identification, but Yamadutas are having that identification. Right? See, this misidentification or undue expectations could cause frustration. Right? So, Niyamanam tava deshat asmabhir yatana grina grihan vyamochyan patakinam chitva pashan prahasyate. Niyamanam tava deshat. Your adesha has been baffled. Read.
We were bringing the most sinful Ajamil toward the hellish planets, following your order, when those beautiful persons from Siddhaloka forcibly cut the knots of the ropes with which we were arresting him.
So Vishnudutas forcefully cut our ropes. They threatened us. If you touch Ajamil, we'll kill you. Oh, they threatened us like this. And we could not do anything. We are powerless. They are looking so effulgent, so brilliant. So Yamadutas wanted to bring Vishnudutas before Yamaraj. We could not punish him, you punish him. If you don't punish him, then you are useless. This is our understanding. So people, sometimes one becomes another person's fan because he sees a reflection in that person. His own desires, which he could not fulfill, someone else is doing it. And he is satisfied that he is doing it because I have some connection. When he does it, I also get some credit. I am his man, you know. And he is so great. And he can feel that I am also great. My deity is so beautiful. Right? That doesn't make you deity. But some pujari may feel like that. Right? My deity is the best deity in the world. Because of his sense of connection with the deity, one is spiritual side. One loves his worshipable Lord so much. There is another material side is one wants to claim credit for the greatness of whom he is connected with. So, when he is serving a great personality, celebrity, he thinks that he is the celebrity sometimes. Now, the washerman of Kamsa ridiculed this Krishna, Balaram and all the Gopas because he thought that there are so many washermen in this Mathura city. But I am the king's washerman. So because of that, there is a lot of pride in him. He ridiculed other people. And how can you expect king's clothes? He felt that he is expecting my clothes, something like that. So how can you expect king's clothes? These are king's clothes. You people, forest dwellers, mountain wanderers, you should not wear these clothes. You should not even desire these clothes. If you ask for these clothes, the king's men will arrest you, loot you, kill you, punish you. Get lost. Then Krishna just separated his head with his fingertips and took whatever clothes he wants and just left other clothes on the road only. And other people just ran away. So, because of one's strong connection on an external plane or a material plane on an egoistic plane with a superior, one may feel bad. This may not exactly have happened with Yamadutas completely, but in regular circles it could happen. But Vishnudutas, when they defeated Yamadutas, Yamadutas were quite frustrated. But Yamaraj had a very good consciousness, very balanced consciousness. So even if the sequence is negative, the sequence of events is negative, if a person has a positive attitude, the result will be positive. Because Yamaraj took the whole thing with a cool head he was mature enough to pacify these Yamadutas, train them, give them good counsel, and he himself is not agitated. Oh, it's okay, okay, I'll do something with Vishnu. I'll have a meeting with them. I'll have a meeting with Vishnu. He did not say all that. Without offending Vishnudutas, without offending Vishnu, without he himself getting troubled, he very maturely pacified the Vishnudutas, Yamadutas. Right? So, Yamadutas gave. How could he manage to do that? Because he did Krishna Katha. He spoke about the holy name to the Yamadutas. So everything depends on the attitude of a person. Suppose For example, in the 8th canto, Shiva was embarrassed by Mohini Murthy. Mohini Murthy just ran and Shiva was running behind, and Mohini Murthy took Shiva in front of some sages only. Some of them are Krishna, Shiva's devotees also. See, your master, you are seeing him as an ideal example of austerity and you are performing austerity. See, this person, he is running behind Mohini Murthy. So, after the whole incident, Shiva came back to his consciousness and he said that, see, my Lord is so great. He did not feel embarrassed. After being embarrassed like that, after being humiliated like that, Shiva did not feel bad at all. See, my master is so great, he can captivate me also. Actually, that whole episode is a glorification of Lord Shiva. How? Because the personification of material energy, Parvati, is standing right next to Shiva as his wife. She could not captivate Shiva. Maya can captivate anybody, but Maya could not captivate Shiva. So Krishna was thinking, Shiva is asking to show me Mohini Murthy form. With this Mohini Murthy form, Krishna bewildered only demons, not the demigods. Right? Shiva is the best of demigods. How can Shiva be bewildered? Shiva could not be bewildered. But still, Vishnu desired that, okay, let me captivate Shiva. He thought for a while. He manifested Mohini Murthy form with his internal potency and made Shiva fall into a whirlpool of lust. And that's not ordinary material lust. You can't call like that. After all, he is attracted to Krishna. He is Krishna. She is Krishna. Mohini Murthy is Krishna. So he is attracted to Krishna. Right? So that attraction is a very sweet exchange between the master and servant. So Shiva took the whole incident in a very positive note. Although Vishnu embarrassed Shiva in front of his own wife, his own Pramathagana, all the Pretas, ghosts and all the Pramathagana, Kailash residents are there and all the sages are there in front of them, he was embarrassed. But Shiva was so happy and he started speaking to Parvati also. See, my Lord is so great. He can captivate me also. You could not captivate me. So he was saying all that. Because of his good consciousness, he did not feel embarrassed. Because of his sense of subordination, he did not misunderstand Vishnu. He did not protest in front of Vishnu, saying that, how could you do all this? If you want to play with me, you should have played with me in private. Why did you go towards that sages, hermitages? You didn't find any other place in the cosmic manifestation or what? Why you have to run there only? Why you have to make me run behind you there only? He did not question all that. Similarly, Yamaraj also, although he was embarrassed like this, he did not question Vishnu. He offered a prayer to Vishnu. Vishnu, you are so great. So, Vishnu wanted to give a message to all these practicing sages and those who are being austerities that if Shiva could be captivated, what to speak of you? Please be careful. That's the message that Krishna wanted to give. So, Shiva cooperated with it. He played his part. And in this episode, Lord, the Supreme Lord Narayana wanted to glorify holy name through the example of Ajamil. Yamaraj played his part. If my role is to accept defeat, I will play this role. I am your servant. You are the director. I am an actor. Right? An actor has to listen to the directions of the director. If the director tells the comedian, you do comedy. But if the comedian says, no, I will do fighting like a hero, then he is not a proper actor. He will be rejected from the role. If the director tells a character artist, he is supposed to play the role of a father, of hero. But he says, no, I will play hero. Right? So you put someone else. And he changes the dialogues. Then he will be removed from that role. So, sometimes director makes the actors undergo so much of hard work. Right? So, sometimes one character in the drama or movie may have to slap another character. If he is submissive to the director, he will stand there, okay, slap me. Right? So, when a villain is being defeated by the hero. So, if someone is playing the role of villain, he has to accept to be defeated by the hero on the screen, on the stage. He cannot say no. Similarly, all the pure devotees of the Lord are playing different roles in the pastimes of Krishna. They don't have personal ego. I will do like this only, I will do like that only. Yeah, there are some heroes who do not listen to directors. Even if they are playing villain role, they want a song for them. They want more prominence for them. They want some fighting scenes or some prominent dialogues for them. Some people did like that in South India. Right? So some people do all that because they have an independent ego. What will happen to my fan following? If you give me a lesser role in this movie, my fan following will not treat me very well. So they don't listen to director. Right? So similarly, if such people may not get so many chances from the director again. Similarly, in devotees, sometimes they play some roles. Hanumanji was given the role of just shouting, standing on the flag of Arjuna. I can kill all this Kurukshetra army alone. I burnt Lanka. These people are not as powerful as Ravana. I can easily kill all these fellows. No, your role is just shout along with Bhima. Right? This time I want to make Arjuna hero. In this scene, I want to make Bhima hero. Your role is just shouting. Just give Uddipan to them. Sufficient. So Hanumanji played that role. So in Sundarakanda, I will make you hero. I will take a low profile in Sundarakanda. Sundarakanda, Ramayana, in entire Ramayana, Sundarakanda is very Sundar. And in that Sundarakanda, very exciting episode, Ram takes such a low profile that he makes Hanumanji hero. You become hero. I will take a secondary role in Sundarakanda. So, when Krishna wants to glorify one devotee, when he wants to embarrass one devotee, it's up to his will and devotees just play that part. Yamaraj is playing that part now. Tamste veditu michhamo yadi no manya sekshamam narayanetya bhihite mabhair ityava ityaya yurdritam.
As soon as the sinful Ajamil uttered the name Narayan, these four beautiful men immediately arrived and reassured him, saying, "Do not fear, do not fear. We wish to know about them from your lordships. If you think we are able to understand them, kindly describe who they are."
They said, "Narayaneti abhihite mabhair ipi ayapur drutam." As soon as this Ajamil chanted Narayana, immediately these four effulgent personalities came and cut our ropes and protected him. They defeated us. They chased us away, literally. So, after Yamadutta spoke some six challenging verses in that spirit, the seventh verse, Yamaraj was very happy to hear the name Narayana. He did not consider the previous six verses when they were speaking in a very angry tone and a very challenging tone. He became ecstatic and he became really enlivened. My Yamaduta spoke Narayana. Everybody there say, every time they are speaking, which hell? Hell's names only. All 28 hellish planets' names they are chanting. And they are just enumerating all the nonsensical activities all the sinful people have done. But now they are chanting Narayana. So he became ecstatic. So, now a distressed person initially may be so fired up to attack, but if you hear them patiently and allow them to vent out their frustration, finally they can become respectful again. Generally, some people may not do so, but if you allow them to just open up, just release what is there in you, bolte raho. After some time, he'll get exhausted. He doesn't have unlimited quantity anyways. Many times, the cause of frustration is only very less. One small incident must have happened. If you allow him to speak it out, okay, he will get some pacification. Even if you don't give solution, the very fact that you have heard it will make him pacified. Now they became little respectful towards the seventh verse. So, now Yamaraj started responding.
Sri Badarayani Ruvacha इति देवः स आपृष्टः प्रजा संयमनो यमः प्रीतः स्वदूतान् प्रत्याह स्मरन् पादाम्बुजं हरेः.
Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, thus having been questioned, Lord Yamaraj, the supreme controller of the living entities, was very pleased with his order carriers because of hearing from them the holy name Narayan. He remembered the lotus feet of Lord and began to reply.
So Yamaraj had to deal with men who are very sinful, who can hardly understand Narayan. So the cause of his pleasure in this context, this context is supposed to be very embarrassing for him, humiliating for him, shocking to him, surprising to him, but still he is ecstatic. Because if one is self-absorbed, if there is any harm to oneself or one's ego, he gets hurt. But if one is absorbed in Krishna, he focuses more on Krishna and not one's personal insult or success or failure. So Yamaraj was thinking about Krishna. He conveniently ignored the first 6 verses, all the disrespectful verses. And now because in the 7th verse he said Narayana, he became ecstatic. Like that. He picked up the good part only. So finally I got to speak about devotees, Krishna and holy name. Now you see, yeah, I said earlier also, Yamadutas heard full holy name seminar from Vishnudutas. But there was not much transformation in them. They could not appreciate it because they were in a challenging spirit. But when Yamaraj speaks that holy name seminar, glories of holy name, glories of Bhagavan, so Yamadutas took it. Yamadutas understood it. They could appreciate it. They could respond to it in a positive manner. They were sobered. They became gentle now. Right? So we should not unduly think that I can transform anyone and everyone. Sometimes we may not be the right person to speak or give good counsel into someone. They are meant to listen from someone else and come to good consciousness. Although what we are speaking and what the other person is speaking could be same also, but still for whatever reasons, it's better that they listen from them. Right? If you get some signals, okay, he's a better person to counsel him. Let them listen to them. So Yamadutas heard from Yamaraj. And Yamaraj immediately became so pleased to remember this, hear this name Narayana. And he immediately remembered the Lord's lotus feet. So seeing little good and accepting it, this shows that he wasn't egoistic. His ego is supposed to be hurt if someone else is sitting in his place, but he was not hurt, but he was happy. So, as I said, there may not, it could be my mistake, but they should update me before directly taking an action on my subordinates. But that update is not given to him. But still he was quite happy. So, next. Yamaraj, Chakravarti was present in a nice conversation tone. Yamaraj was thinking that, you are great offenders. What nonsense you are speaking. Hear the truth. I will speak the truth. No, he will start speaking about the Lord. Yama uvacha paromadanyo jagatas tashtushascha tastusascha otam protam patavadyatra vishvam yadamshatosya sthiti janmanasham nasyotavadyasya vashecha lokah.
Yamaraj said, my dear servants, you have accepted me as a supreme, but factually I am not. Above me, the above all other demigods, including Indra and Chandra, is the one supreme master and controller. The partial manifestations of his plenary personality are Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, who are in charge of the creation, maintenance and annihilation of this universe. He is like the two threads that form the length and breadth of the woven cloth. The entire world is controlled by him, just as a bull is controlled by a rope in its nose.
You considered me a supreme authority, but I am not. That requires great humility and honesty to say it. When Narada Muni asked Brahmaji in the second canto, my dear Brahma, I thought you are the supreme creator within this universe. Just like a spider creates its web and winds it up. I thought you know everything, every nook and corner of this universe. You are the supreme person. You are the creator. Just like a amalaki fruit. A walnut is there within one's grip. And you can, you know everything about that walnut. So I thought you are like that for this universe. And he asks some questions also. Immediately Brahmaji clarifies, saying that, I am not the supreme. I am not the ultimate creator. I only recreate what has already been created. He is the primary creator. He is the ultimate creator. I am only a secondary creator. Out of ignorance and out of foolishness, some people may think that Brahmaji is the ultimate creator, but it is not a fact. Krishna is the creator. Vishnu is the creator. Brahmaji very clearly declares this. A humble servant does not accept more credit than what he deserves. In fact, he takes lesser credit. He does a lot and he takes this much credit only. Or if not, he doesn't take that also. He transfers everything to the superiors. Prabhupada has established a worldwide movement and he said, it is all because of his divine grace. My spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Everything is done by him, not me. Right? I am just a humble instrument in his hands. So I always feel the presence of my spiritual master with me. If there is any credit that is there for my translation work, all that credit goes to my spiritual master. Vishnu Sekhavati Thakur also says the same thing. Kaviraj Goswami says, Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Vyasadev of Chaitanya Leela is Vrindavan Das Thakur, not me. Vrindavan Das Thakur is the original writer of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Whatever he could not cover in his Chaitanya Bhagavat, I am just trying to elaborate those pastimes. You see, Adilila 17 chapters are there, of which first 12 are only tattva. First 7 are only tattva. Next he gives Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, tree of Lord Chaitanya. And in 5 chapters, he summarizes 24 years of Lord Chaitanya's episode, Lord Chaitanya's leelas, before taking sannyas. Why? Because Vrindavan Das Thakur has already elaborated. Why should I do it? So a humble Vaishnava just transfers the credit to the Supreme Lord and other Vaishnavas and his guru and the whole parampara. He doesn't claim credit for themselves. And who is the guru of Brahmaji? Directly the Supreme Lord. So he gave all credit to Vishnu. Yamaraj also gives all credit to Vishnu. He is like the horizontal and vertical threads that are the basis of a cloth. You take a cloth, once you take cotton, make a thread out of it. Once you make a thread, cloth is not seen. Cotton is not seen. Now you take the threads, take it horizontal threads and vertical threads, you make a cloth out of it. Once you make a cloth, the threads are not seen. When you are seeing thread, you can't see cotton. When you are seeing cloth, you can't see threads. But threads are the basis of cloth. Cotton is the basis of thread. Similarly, the Supreme Lord generates this entire universe in the form of seeds or whatever. And Brahmaji disseminates those seeds and manifests all the planetary systems. And once the whole universe is functional and it is acting, it is functioning, then people will conveniently forget the Creator, Supreme Lord Krishna. Right? How many people remember a thread seeing a cloth? Or cotton or silk or whatever it may be. They are just obsessed with the color of the cloth and how soft it is, this and that. So which cotton, it is made from which cotton, where the cotton is grown, which farmer has made this crop, cotton crop, all that becomes irrelevant once the cloth is manifest. Similarly, Krishna becomes irrelevant when the universe manifests for people. So, but humble souls, humble devotees, they remember Krishna's presence in every nook and corner of the universe and they acknowledge Him. They express their gratitude towards Him. Here he says that, Yamaraj says, just like the bull is controlled by the rope piercing, rope passing through its nose, similarly this whole world is controlled by the Supreme Lord. He is the boss. I am just a subordinate person. I am a departmental controller of few human beings, few living entities only. Yamaduta suspected that there were a ruler even above Yamaraj. Yamaraj immediately confirmed this. Please don't misunderstand me. Don't give me more credit than what I deserve. He is the boss. Only human beings have consciousness of right and wrong. And amongst them, only those who perform sinful activities come under the control of Yamaraj. So, Krishna is the supreme controller. Mattaha paracharam nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya mai sarvamidam proktam sutre maniganayiva. I am the sutra, that is, sutra means the string that is keeping all these pearls together, all these beads together. Once you remove that, you may see a line of beads. As soon as you touch them, they get dispersed. Because there is no thread binding them. So without Krishna, thread you can't see. Right? Similarly, Krishna you can't see. That doesn't mean Krishna is not there. And the expertise of this creator, expertise of a manager is, everything is happening wonderfully without the personal intervention of the manager in everything, small thing. He is an expert manager. He is just sitting in his office, he managed everything and everything is happening well. The whole program is happening well. He is a good manager. So Krishna is such a good manager that he made this nature work so well on its own. Although he only empowered that nature, it seems to a materialistic person that nature functions on its own. Where is Krishna? Where is God behind it? That's the expertise of the Lord. Right? That, because of that empowerment only, maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. That adhyakshata, the superintendence of the Lord is ignored conveniently by a conditioned soul. He is the ultimate controller. Ishvara paramah Krishna. Yo nama bhirvachi janam nijayam badhnati tantriyam iva dama bhirga yasmai balim taive nama karma nibaddha nibandha baddhas chakita vahanti.
Just as the driver of the bullock cart ties ropes through the nostrils of his bulls to control them, the Supreme Personality of Godhead binds all men through the ropes of his words in the Vedas, which set forth the names and activities of the distinct orders of human society, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. In fear, the members of these orders all worship the Supreme Lord by offering him presentations according to their respective activities.
So everybody is worshipping the Supreme Lord, whichever varna he may be, whichever ashram he may be, according to their own capacity, they are worshipping the Lord. In the material world, everyone is conditioned, regardless of who he is. Human being, animal, demigod, they are all subjected to certain conditions. That's why they are called conditioned souls. Everything is controlled by the laws of nature. And human being is systematically controlled by Vedic instructions. In terms of varna and ashram. So different sets of rules are governing different types of living entities. Human beings are supposed to be controlled by varna ashram. So as Kali Yuga progresses, that those rules and that control also the person does not accept. But they are subtly there. Because it has been created by the Lord, that system will be there, whether it is properly followed or improperly followed. The system will be there. Prabhupada writes like that in one purport. We cannot say that there are no varnas. There is an intellectual class. There is a working class. There is an administrative class. There is a mercantile class. Whether you call them this varna or that varna, but that has to exist because Krishna has created it. So, Varnashtama institution offers perfect process for making one eligible to return back to Godhead, because the aim of every varna and ashram is to please the Supreme Lord. Samsiddhir haritoshanam atah pumbhir dvidasreshta svarnashtama vibhagasah svanishtitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. Next. Aham mahendro nivrittihi prachetah somognirishah pavanovirinchihim Aditya Vishve Vasavotha Sadhyam
Marudgana Rudragana Siddha Anyecha Ye Vishwasrujo Maresha Bhrgvadavos Prishta Rajastamaskaha Yasya Hitam Navidus Prishta Maya Sattva Pradhana Apikim Tatonye.
I, Yamraj, Indra, the king of heaven, Nirti, Varuna, Chandra, the moon god, Agni, Lord Shiva, Pavana, Lord Brahma, Surya, the sun god, Vishvasu, the eight Vasus, the Sandhyas, the Maruts, the Rudras, the Siddhas, and Marichi, and other great rishis, engage in maintaining the departmental affairs of the universe, as well as the best of the demigods headed by Brihaspati, and the great sages headed by the Bhrugu, are all certainly freed from the influence of two base material modes of nature, namely passion and ignorance. Nevertheless, although we are in the mode of goodness, we cannot understand the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then is to be of set of others who under illusion merely speculate to know God?
So there are so many personalities who are orchestrating various affairs of this universe. So to establish the superiority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead over all these personalities, Yamaraj mentions his name first. Aham Mahendro Nirtihi Prachetaha. I am controlled by the Supreme Lord. I am subordinate to the Supreme Lord. Indra is also subordinate. Marutas are also subordinate. Prachetas, they are also subordinates. Everybody is subordinate. When he is enumerating the people who are subordinates, he puts his name first. And these people are also unable to understand the Supreme Lord. When he is enumerating those people who cannot understand Krishna, he puts his name first. But when he is enumerating Mahajans, he puts his name last. That will come little later. So all these people cannot understand, although they are such great people, they cannot understand. Sattva pradhana apikim tatonye. Because they have mode of goodness as the prominent aspect of their personality, so what to speak of other people? They cannot understand him. Namaya viduhu saraganaha prabhavam na maharshayaha ahamadirhi devanam maharshinam cha sarvashaha. Krishna himself says, all these suraganas, demigods and maharshis, they cannot understand me. I am their origin. I am their creator. There is no possibility that they can understand me. Yes, Prabhuji, you have some question. Okay. So, one cannot understand the Supreme Lord means it's not possible to ascertain his mood, his attitude and his will and his activities and his powers. So one cannot completely understand the Lord. So in that sense he is saying that. What exactly is the question?
It is said to be a good servant. Mm. We need to understand the mood of the master. Mm,
correct.
The master need not explicitly tell us what he wants. Mm. So, you know, there are Mahajans also mentioned. So it's expected that they know. You know, or they are the persons who serve the Lord in the best of capacity. So when it is said that even we don't understand the activities, that's the reason I ask this question. I mean, are they also, is it spoken out of humility that we don't serve the Lord in the best of the way? That's what I kind of wanted to clarify.
So two things are there. As you very nicely said, a servant has to understand the mood of the master. To that extent, Yamaraj is understanding the mood of the master. He wants to glorify holy name in this episode. He wants to protect a sinless person who is a chanter. Yamaraj understood the mood of Narayana and he is not at all in a mood of protesting. Although his jurisdiction is baffled and his servant, order carriers are baffled. So in that sense, there is understanding of the mood and aligning oneself with the mood of the master. Second point also mentioned nicely, humility. Out of humility, such a pure devotee thinks that I am not competent enough to understand the Supreme Lord. So there is a considerable understanding of the Lord's mood and personality and activities and pastimes and names and qualities to a considerable extent. But no one can claim a complete understanding of the Supreme Lord. So when he says we don't understand, we can't understand him completely. What he wants to do, when he wants to do, how he wants to do. What all things he wants to do, we cannot understand completely. That incompetency to completely understand the Lord is what is mentioned. And at the same time, whatever they are understanding, they are saying that it's not a very great understanding. That is their humility. At the same time, they have very good understanding of the mood. So he says, Brahmaji also says, Soham samamnaya mayastapomeha prajapatinam abhivandita pati. Although I am so fixed up in my austerity, although I am such a great personality, all the prajapatis will come and offer prostrated obeisances in front of me. Prajapati nam abhivandita pati. Still, I cannot understand the Lord. Nantam vidamyahamami munayograjaste. The verse that I just now said is Brahmaji was saying. Brahmaji says that I cannot understand the Lord. And he also says, Naham nantam vidamyahamami munayograjaste. Maya balasya purushasya kuto varaye gayan gunan dashashatanan adi devasesho dhunapina bhavasthyati nasti aparam. Sesha, Lord Sesha is enumerating the glories of Supreme Personality of Godhead since time immemorial. And he is doing that with one, not with one mouth, with thousands of hoods. Till date, he could not completely enumerate the glories of the Lord, enumerate the qualities of the Lord. What to speak of elaborating them? And we are not sure in the rest of eternity whether he will be able to do it or not. So the Lord's glories are unlimited, that his dedicated servants also find it difficult to enumerate them or understand them completely. So it is, in that sense it is there. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah. Nahiyasya karhichit rajan puman vedavidishitam yad vijignasaya yukta muhiyanti kavayopihi. In trying to understand, Bhishma says this verse, in trying to understand the mood of the Lord, even great kavis, learned people are also bewildered. So no one can understand the plan of the Lord. Puman. Gita, he says, one who is situated in devotional service is transcendental to all material qualities, and only such bhaktas can understand the Lord. Bhaktyamam abhijanati. So a bhakta can understand, but he can understand the Lord to a considerable extent, not completely. So many verses say that by bhakti you can understand the Lord, and many other verses also says that even great personalities also cannot understand the Lord. Khidyati dhirvidamiha. In trying to figure out what Krishna is, the intelligence of great learned scholars get bewildered. Saveda dhatum padavim parasya duranta viryasya rathangapani yo amayaya santataya anuvritya bhajeta tatpada saroja gandham. Who can understand Krishna? One who performs unreserved, unmotivated, constant, favorable devotional service can understand Krishna. First canto only it's established. But their understanding is not the vastness and the depth of the ocean of Krishna, but the essential mood that they need to understand to perform that they perform their service to Krishna. So everyone, all these pure devotees have understanding of Krishna, very good understanding of Krishna, but in terms of the quantity, it's not that they understand it completely. Lord performs so many activities, he can't understand everything. But in essence, what is Krishna? Krishna Tattva they understand. The essential thing. Yes, Prabhu.
Last chapter, two questions. First was, we saw Ajamila's regret. So there is a thin line between regret and lamentation. Bhagavad Gita 18.135, lamentation, it comes in mode of ignorance. And also one may lament about his mistake. So how, what is that difference, you know, regret and lamentation? How to avoid lamentation and have a regret? First, and second was Prabhu.
Let's complete this first.
Yes.
Unless the second one is related to the first one.
Little.
Tell me.
Also, we see Like we see a couple of examples of, you know, falling down in Bhagavatam. Ajamila we see and Bharat Maharaj we see in the spiritual life. They fall down and they, but the measure they took was quite extreme. Like he went to Haridwar alone and strong determination never to fall back. And even Jad Bharat, you know, he was acting like a fool and didn't talk with anybody like that to protect themselves. But here we are, we take determination, but we are working in this world and we have to deal with so many people. So again, we tendency is to fall back. So how to have the strong determination, and so that we don't, because small mistake is one sense, it says shurasya dhara nita durgam pathasthe kavayo vadanti. The spiritual life is like walking on the razor's edge. So it is a difficult path. So the mistakes, how to accommodate them. And Govind Prabhu was just telling in the class that 25% we learn from the mistakes. So mistakes are supposed to be there, they can teach us. But again, this lamentation and regret, that not going into lamentation zone and regret.
So the terminology is the English vocabulary of lamentation and what is that one you said? Guilt, regret. So you can see dictionary to get the right thing, but the sense, the general sense of the usage of these words is that he is lamenting, quote unquote, regretting for his mistakes, and that lamentation is not taking him into depression and deviation and discouragement. It is taking him into determination and dedication and devotion to Krishna. So it's bringing him closer to Krishna. That kind of lamentation, that kind of regret, that kind of remorse is definitely beneficial for one's advancement in devotional service. So we need to understand, it's not that every lamentation is bad, every regret is bad. It depends on what you do after that. Prabhupada writes in the episode of Dhruva Maharaj being pacified by Suniti. Both were lamenting, but mere lamentation is not sufficient. One should do a practical action. What's next? So Dhruva was lamenting and Suniti was lamenting, but Suniti suggested Dhruva, you please take shelter of the Supreme Lord. Tameva vatsashraya bhritya vatsalam mumukshubhir mrugya padabja paddhatim. That lamentation that makes you regret for his mistakes and makes you to take positive steps to come closer to Krishna, that's very favorable for devotional service. So that kind of lamentation is not bad. That kind of lamentation is lamentation, regret, whatever you may call. It is very beneficial. So the second question.
Mistakes are not so easily accepted.
He accepted the mistake. Because of ego, one may not accept mistake. But Ajamil accepted that mistake. And he regretted for it, honestly. And he took a decision. Let me practice devotional service with determination. Once sinful activities or mistakes are burnt in the fire of repentance. Prabhupada writes like that in 1st Canto, 18th chapter. Parikshit Maharaj regretted, repented for his activity of garlanding Shamikrishi with a dead snake. So he not only expected a calamity upon him, he also desired a calamity. If I get a calamity, if I get a difficulty, if I get a punishment for what I have done, then I will not do such mistakes again. And if I am not punished for my mistake, I will, the sinful reaction for my mistake would go to my descendants. I don't want them to suffer. Not out of attachment. A devotee does not want others to suffer for his activities. So that's why he was desiring a curse or a punishment upon himself. So that kind of lamentation is favorable for devotion.
Second was determination. We see Ajamila or Jad Bharat. They were like, he acted like a fool and he went to Haridwar alone practicing. But here we again face same problems. Again we'll fall, we'll get up, and then again we'll see same problem and fall in. So how we went in there?
See, the principle of determination is very much emphasized and it is very favorable for one's advancement in devotional service. We see that determination in Ajamil. We see the determination in Jadabharat. These two examples you only quoted. We see the determination in Dhruva Maharaj. So like that, we see determination in great souls. But these three personalities, the three examples we just mentioned, they exhibited their determination in a certain manner. Dhruva Maharaj exhibited his determination in devotional service by performing severe austerities in Madhuvan. And Ajamil exhibited his determination to perform some devotional service in Haridwar. And Bharat Maharaj, Jadabharat, he exhibited his determination in not interacting with all materialistic people and controlling himself and then wandering like a madman externally, but internally meditating on Krishna. Jadabharat did not indiscriminately give knowledge of Krishna consciousness or speak or reveal his true identity or his true glory in front of anyone. When he found a right candidate like Rahugana, who is in mode of goodness, who can understand, who can make sense out of what he is able, he is speaking, he opened his mouth there. But by his association, he purified all the all his stepbrothers and other people who were mistreating him also. They were in mode of passion. And these dacoits were in mode of ignorance. Jadabharat purified them by giving his darshan only. And Rahugana is in mode of goodness. Jadabharat purified him by speaking out. Whatever different people are able to take from him, he was giving it. And he was absorbed in his own devotional service internally. So, the details of how they manifested their devotion and determination in devotion could vary according to situation. Now they are in a different age. Now, in our case, we may not be able to go to Haridwar or go to Madhuvan and stand on one leg and then eat kapitta fruits once in 3-4 days and then do austerity. And we exhibit determination in a certain manner, according to whatever prescriptions are there, whatever our seniors are guiding us, whatever our guru told us. Our determination is there to practice our devotional service in this setup. Does it make sense? The principle of determination is glorious. But the details of how do you apply that may vary according to situation.
He's very confidently able to say that now I'll take shelter of the Lord and I will give up and I'll make friendly relation with all living entities. And it has come true. But in our case, our words, many times we say the words, we try, but because we are dealing in this world.
Yeah.
We are not able to. He also in that Brahmana, Avanti Brahmani says that, Tarishyami Durantavaram, no, Nittamo Mukunda Agnishayam. So such kind of words we may utter, but it's very difficult for us,
in my life. Take some time, just pray. We need to pray. We need to depend on devotees. We may not confidently say like that exactly. But, Nabharati Mengam Rashopalakshate Navaikvachinme Manaso Mrishagatihi. Brahmaji confidently said, whatever I say, whatever I do, whatever I think is correct. Yanme Hridi Autkanthyavata Dhrito Harihi. Because with great zeal and determination, I have accepted the lotus feet of the Lord in my heart. And that same Brahma could not answer a question when four Kumaras asked him in 11th canto. Because of his creative activities, he was a bit deviated. Deviated means like he could not answer that question. So, point is, even great souls also may sometimes get distracted, but their distractions are not like our distractions. But the principle is, when you take shelter of Krishna with determination, Krishna will protect you. So when you are determined, it's not your confidence on your ability to get Krishna. It's your confidence on Krishna's shelter to, Krishna's attitude to give you shelter. When they are confidently saying that, they are confident about Krishna. Right? Okay, next. Yes, Samarpan.
Thank Toshani Mahaprabhu for very honest question. Now my question is that about the Yamaraj dealing with Yamdutas.
Mm.
As you said that he is speaking Krishna Katha in kind of a managerial thing.
Okay.
You know, and it is actually creating such a positive result. And practically there is no management discussion in this meeting.
Management is also there. జిహ్వానవక్తి భగవద్గుణనామధేయం.
దట్ ఈస్ కమింగ్ మోస్ట్లీ ఎట్ ద వెరీ స్మాల్.
డోంట్ బ్రింగ్ సచ్ పీపుల్ టు మీ, బ్రింగ్ ఓన్లీ సిన్ఫుల్ పీపుల్ టు మీ.
యెస్, మేనేజర్ ఇస్ ఆల్సో దేర్ విచ్ ఇస్ సర్వీస్.
యా, సర్వీస్ టు కృష్ణ.
బట్
సి, మేనేజ్మెంట్ ఈస్ నాట్ డిస్కనెక్టెడ్ విత్ కృష్ణ. ఇట్స్ అన్ యాక్షన్ ఓరియంటెడ్ కృష్ణ కథ. దిస్ ఈస్ మెడిటేషన్ అండ్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ. We need not discriminate between spiritual management circles when we are sitting together and how to organize Janmashtami festivals. It is non-different from discussing 10th canto. If only we have that consciousness.
But generally, as you are saying, the management meeting doesn't go like that. That's what
it doesn't go like that. It's a different thing. But it's supposed to be. Yeah.
Yeah, it is more of Yamdut.
Okay.
Basically, this is Bhagavatam, speaking principles. As we see, this is the case where he is speaking Krishna Katha through principles and making them receptive, and such a beautiful thing has come, and he is doing management at the end also. Similarly, we see in the case of Brahmaji speaking to Priyavrat. So, he is also dealing with a managerial issue where one person has left the department and, you know, someone else has to be put there. So, but there also the discussion is very Krishna conscious and philosophical, and not about creating fear in the subordinate or...
Correct, correct.
So, and he speaks hardly 11 verses, and with the great, he smiles and, you know, and he is speaking with the great desire to help him also. So, and we see in 10th canto when Nand Maharaj, Upananda, they are having meeting, there is, they are Vrajvasis of course. And Brahmaji approaching Lord Shiva after in Daksha episode, there also we see lot of etiquettes followed, although they are managerly dealing. So how to understand this and apply in terms of, you know, power of Krishna Katha and repeating? Because generally, what at least when I have meetings and many others, I don't know, this part is not there much. So how to apply these principles which are there in Bhagavatam?
How to apply?
So we need to discuss lot of details of management.
See, one thing, the details of how a service is supposed to be executed has to be given preference. For example, you are organizing a crowd control for Janmashtami festival. You have to manage all of that. You have to think about it. You have to put where to put these barricades. How to divert people from this door and that door, this staircase, that staircase, all this has to be there. So now you can't just be quoting Bhagavad Gita slokas and Bhagavatam slokas there. So now definitely we are doing ultimately everything for Krishna. That consciousness is there. But whatever necessary details are there, we need to discuss them also. Krishna Kurukshetra war is also Krishna service only. But there are some discussions there, how to organize this vyuha, that vyuha. And during the service also there is a lot of passion and anger that is exhibited by the warriors there. So we cannot avoid our presence of mind and involvement in executing that service. Right? Hanumanji was jumping across and then they were all deciding. They were all discussing. I can jump 100 yojanas, I can jump 90 yojanas, I can jump 80 yojanas. There is a lot of discussion is there. So, as far as you are executing the task or discussing about how to execute the task, ultimately to please Krishna is there, that's wonderful. It doesn't happen in the one has to be conscious of rendering service to the service to Krishna only. That has to be one's own, that's there in one's mood. That has to be there in one's mood. But I don't have the adhikar to comment on how the managerial meetings are conducted and all that. So I will restrain from saying anything about that. But I only say that, yeah, ultimately whatever management that we do in spiritual circle is meant to please Krishna, and the servants are having that consciousness. If we are unable to see it, that may be our problem. If it is actually not there, that is their problem. But we are not into that. We know the principles here. As much as well, we will try to apply. So we are no one to judge people whether they are, right? These people are only speaking these external things, there is no Krishna Katha, we can't judge them. Yeah. So how to apply it is simple. You just be conscious about the fact that it is ultimately meant for Krishna. And I will do my best to work on it. And when you have to discuss about the details of how to do, now you see some people are called for subjugating. For Janmashtami festival or Brahmosav festival or some other Vigrathayatra or whatever. They will come with their earphones. And the subjugating manager is saying something. So you cut the sabji like this. And he is in his own world. He is hearing some kirtan and he is dancing like that. He will cut in a different manner. He has to be given a feedback. Right? Then, I am hearing Krishna Kathe, why are you distracting me? Then why do you come into subjugating? Right? Your mind is there. So yeah, when you are focusing on service, do that. So, like when you are in action, when you have certain responsibility to complete a service, 10,000 people are coming for the festival and you have to cook for them. You can't just be sitting and then speaking Bhagavad Gita verses. That's the time for action. And that action is meant for Krishna. And when he's totally absorbed in doing that service or updating his team members in how to do that service, that's meant for Krishna and we have to respect it. Right? In my understanding. One more. Okay. Tell me.
About the Yamdutas words.
Because unless we handle a responsibility, we can't empathize with that manager. Right? So now like what exactly he is going through in his attempts to serve Krishna, he can only tell. Right? So sometimes, His Holiness Radhaswami Maharaj was asked a question by Gaurang Prabhu in the class. So sometimes one may flare up while doing some service. Prabhuji was asking like that. Maharaj said, sometimes we may have to do that. Hey, not like that, do like this. You may just say like that. But if you find that other devotee is a little hurt because of your way of correcting him in doing that service, you may just go and say sorry, that's fine. But that's not considered an offense. That's not considered some great mistake that he has done. While doing that service, when you have the responsibility to complete that service in a certain manner, you may have to tell few things to few people. And sometimes one may get little excited or may just say some things like that. But that should not put one out of the realm of devotional service, or it's not a non-Krishna conscious way or anything like that. You cannot judge like that. And different people have different personality traits also. Ultimately, the intention matters. Ultimately, he's trying to serve Krishna. Right? It could be like conducting a managerial meeting or leading a marathon party. It could be leading a cooking thing. Makes sense? Anyone has any other? You are more experienced. If someone who has more mature comments and more experienced comments, you can always share. I just shared my little understanding.
About Yamdutas expressing their words quite strongly to their authority, and they are quite disturbed actually in their service. So their intents are mentioned by Chakravarti Thakur, which are very strong actually. They wanted Vishnu Dutas to be there punished.
Yes, yes. So
sometimes we are also disturbed. So momentarily we may feel something like that to some other great souls. So, you know, it's very painful to feel.
If it is a circumstantial and innocent, if it is a circumstantial, innocent, momentary outburst, like mature devotees understand. Just like Srikant Sen could not offer obeisances to Lord Chaitanya, removing his shirt. So, Lord Chaitanya could understand. He did not take offense from Srikant Sen. He is little agitated, he is little disturbed, and after that he is normal. So, are we having a malicious intention towards that superior or towards that senior devotee? Or it's just a momentary, occasional outburst because I'm so tired, I was a little frustrated. I'm sorry, Prabhu, I just said it in the heat of the moment. You can just always apologize if something like that happens. But the ideal thing is we should not be doing that. One more very important thing is when we are reading certain scriptural statements and say Chakravarti Pada is presenting like that, Sukadeva Goswami is presenting like that, we can learn some principles from there and try to apply in our life. But it can't be the other way around. Sometimes we could superimpose our own situation on the Shastric characters and that could lead to some. I think last time I mentioned this. Someone told me four Kumaras are little brittle. Who are you to say that? When they said, Acharyas are saying it's what they said, it is glorious. When they said no to Brahmaji, that is fine. So that also is like one little caution note that we need to take when we are learning what to do and what not to do, especially from Shastri characters. Yamadutas were quite submissive. Although they just spoke 5-6 verses in little agitated tone and angry tone because of the humiliation that they experienced in the recent past immediately. But after Yamaraj gave this whole full Goholi name glories and the Supreme Lord's glories and Bhagavata Dharma and all of that, Yamadutas were quite pacified and they just followed the instructions of Yamaraj. And what happened after that and what happened before that, we don't have so much of information of all of that.
Judge the four
Kumar
like that.
Mm.
That's the most important.
We cannot judge him. Whatever his details are given by Acharyas there, from there we can just learn. But we cannot superimpose our mentality. One person directly asked the question like this. Four Kumaras seem to be very brittle. Similarly, when we are handling with our subordinates, they are also brittle. How to deal with them? First let me just go through your statement once again. I had to say that. Okay, now we'll come to this flow. Thank you. Yam vaina gobhir manasa subhirva hridagirava subhrsho vichakshate atmanam antar hridi santam atmanam chakshur yathaiva kritayastatah param.
As the different limbs of the body cannot see the eyes, the living entities cannot see the Supreme Lord, who is situated as a super soul in everyone's heart. Not by the senses, by the mind, by the life air, by the thoughts within the heart, or by the vibration of words, can living entities ascertain the real situation of the Supreme Lord.
Eyes can see the limbs, my hand and legs, eyes can see. But hand and leg cannot see eyes. Similarly, the Supreme Lord can see everything. But everybody cannot see the Supreme Lord, cannot understand the Supreme Lord. Right? So, all the body parts do not have power to see the eyes. Eyes direct the movements of body parts. Similarly, every living entity, although can't see the super soul, is acting according to his direction. The living entities cannot do anything without sanction of super soul. Super soul is acting at every moment, but living entity cannot understand his form and activities by manipulating his senses. He's adhokshaja. So Yamaraj so far described the position of the Supreme Lord. He is above me. I am not the ultimate controller. Now he will describe the qualities of the Vishnudutas. Tasyatma tantrasya harer abhi adhishtihu adhishitu parasya maya adhipater mahatmanah prayena duta ihavai manohara charanti tadrupa gunasvabhava.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient and fully independent. He is the master of everyone and everything, including the illusory energy. He has his form, qualities and features. And similarly, his order carriers, the Vaishnavas, who are very beautiful, possess bodily features, transcendental qualities and a transcendental nature almost like his. They always wander within this world with full independence.
So, tasyatma tantrasya harer adhishituhu. So, Vishnudutas are having qualities similar to Vishnu. Especially their independence. The more one depends on Krishna, the more is he independent. The real independence is dependence on Krishna. The more one is disconnected from Krishna, the more he is dependent on the laws of nature. He is restricted. His free will is restricted. His operation, his activities and his sensual and mental activities are restricted because he disconnected from Krishna. So, Vishnu Dutas are very much connected with Vishnu. They have a lot of independence. They can go anywhere. So they are almost as qualified as the Supreme Lord, no less powerful than Lord Vishnu. Since Vishnu is above Yamaraj, Vishnudutas are above Yamadutas. Persons protected by Vishnudutas cannot be touched by Yamadutas. Right? Vishnudutas are very attractive, but Yamadutas are not. Yamadutas are described to be having twisted faces, hair standing on end. They were looking really fearsome. But Vishnudutas, Sarve Kamala, Padma Pala, Padma Patraksha. Everybody is having lotus-like eyes, four hands like that. Bhutani Vishnoh Surapujitani Durdarshalingani Mahadbhutani Rakshanti Tad Bhakti Matah Parebhyo Mattasya Martyan Atha Sarvatasya.
The water carriers of Lord Vishnu, who are worshipped even by demigods, possess wonderful bodily features exactly like those of Vishnu and are very rarely seen. The Vishnudutas protect the devotees of the Lord from the hands of enemies, from envious persons and even from my jurisdiction, as well as from natural disturbances.
Bhutani Vishnoh Surapujitani Durdarsha Lingani Mahadbhutani. So all these Vishnu devotees, they are worshipped by even demigods also. Surapujitani, Durdarshalingani Mahadbhutani. They have wonderful forms which are very rarely seen. They protect the Lord's devotees from enemies, Yamaraj, and natural disturbances. So, Yamaraj is a great devotee. So, what service is given to him? My God, to punish people. To judge the activities of people, to dispatch them into different hellish planets. So, like coming to your point also, when he is handling that kind of service, what kind of meetings he can have? Very rarely he can come to speak holy name and glories and all. But you are in action, you have to discuss about that. So does it mean he can't have this kind of holy name discussion every single day? He has to dispatch people to different places. That is his service. Because different services need different kinds of flavors. Somebody who is in DT department, he is constantly thinking, what kind of dresses I should offer Radha Krishna? What kind of jewelry I should offer Radha Krishna? What kind of flowers? How should be the garlands? So you may think that different people are given different services. Somebody is just given some service of book distribution. He's always thinking about money. How much did he give the payment? Did he pay? How much you have taken? There's a lot of counting. All numbers are there in his mind. For a DT department guy, there are flowers are there in his mind. Jewels are there in his mind. DTs are there in his mind. For a book distribution party, money is there. Numbers are there. Chalan, accounts, that is there. But both are ultimately meant for Krishna. Right. For someone who is Bhagavatam, speaking Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam is there in his mind. Someone who is speaking something else, which is also meant for Krishna, so that is there in his mind. So, we can't say that this is service, this is higher, this is lower, this is higher, this is lower. Everybody is serving Krishna according to the best of their capacity. So, Yamaraj is given this kind of service. Right? Yamaraj did not praise, why did you put me here, Baba? Indra's service is better. He's dealing with apsaras and other demigods. I'm dealing with all these sinful souls. Right? There is no external comfort also. There is no Krishna Katha nourishment also. He's doing that seva. So different people are given different services. So one needs to... A servant is supposed to align with the needs of service and the mood of master. Right? As much as possible. And if there is something is there... There is a discussion. That's what four Kumaras did. Oh fools, they are worshipped even by the devatas. You are not worshipped by anyone. You have offended them. Who worships Yamadutas? And yeah, Vishnudutas are worshipped by demigods also. Who is worshipping, who is putting a photo of Yamadutas and then doing aarti? Very rare. Practically no. So, they say, Prabhupada says, sometimes, members of Krishna consciousness movement are afraid of the impending danger of this world war, and ask what would happen to them if a world war should occur. Prabhupada says, in all kinds of dangers, they should be confident of their protection by the Vishnu Dutas, as confirmed in Gita. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. Padam padam yad vipadam is for regular janta, but natesham is for devotees. So, in the material world, there are dangers at every step, but they are not meant for devotees who have fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Pure devotees of Vishnu may rest assured of the Lord's protection, and as long as they are in material world, they should fully engage in devotional service by preaching the cult of Lord Chaitanya movement, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Yamadutas may question, if they protect devotees, why are they favoring adharma? Why till now Yamaraj has not yet addressed that about Ajamil's case. So he was only glorifying the Lord, and he glorified Vishnu Dutas. Now Yamadutas might question that if Vishnu Dutas protect devotees, why are they favoring adharma? We are catching a sinful soul and they have stopped us. Now Yamaraj says that how can fools like you understand what is dharma? Even sages cannot understand. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Na vai vidurushayo napi devah. Na siddha mukhya asura manushya. Kutonu vidya dharacharanadaya. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Religious principles are ascertained by the Supreme Lord directly. Right? They are enacted by the Lord. Navai vidur rishayo napi devaha. Even rishis and devas, siddha mukhya, chief of perfected beings, asura means demons, manushya means human beings, they also cannot understand. What to speak of vidyadharas and charanas? So none of these people can understand what actually dharma is. Only Supreme Personality of Godhead can ascertain what is dharma. And if he empowers someone, they can also understand dharma. Yamadutas' unawareness of transcendental dharma is mentioned here. Yes, you are also aware of dharma, you know. You say that Veda pranihito dharma, adharmastad viparyayaha. You told this to Vishnudutas. So your understanding of dharma is like a 10th standard textbook. Like a 10th standard textbook has mathematics. And PhD people also may do some mathematics. But it's a little higher. Similarly, Yamadutas' understanding of dharma is Veda pranihito dharma, about three moods. How to punish sinful souls. Yeah, that is also good understanding. But there is something higher than that. That is transcendental dharma, which is known to the Lord and Vishnudutas. When challenged by Vishnudutas to describe dharma, Yamadutas said this, Veda pranihito dharma. They did not know that Vedic literature contains ritualistic ceremonies that are not transcendental, but are meant to keep peace and order amongst the materialistic persons in the material world. Vedic dharmas are needed, very important. That is for the peace and tranquil and the balance of the social system, social structure. Vedavadarataha, Prabhupada comments on that. Some Indians, very fond of Vedic rituals, not understanding the meaning of rituals. Why simple kirtan if they do, why some people cannot appreciate? They want big pomp, big sacrifice. What mantras the pujari is chanting in that sacrifice, people may not know. But when the big sacrifice is conducted, Prabhupada writes this in 6th Canto Purports, that pomp, people get attracted to it. Sacrifice kiya gaya? How many kilos of samidhas you got? How much ghee did you pour in it? What kind of big sound system you have put? How many mantras you chanted? How long the yajna went? How long the fire was on? So people want that kind of credit, and people get excited with that. So such people who are obsessed to practice that kind of ritualistic ceremonies without understanding the meaning of it, so they will continue to do that. They are like Vedavadaratas. But there is a dharma which is above that also. That is Sarvadharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. So the Yamadutas may question, if no one knows dharma, what is the proof of its existence? Only Bhagavan knows and no one knows. That's what you are saying. No, no, no. Others also know. There are few people. There are 12 Mahajans who know. So That is mentioned in the next verse. Svayambhurnaradashyambhuh Kumaraha Kapilo Manuhu Prahalado Janako Bhishma Balir Vayasa Kirvayam Dvadashaite Vijanimo Dharmam Bhagavatam Bhataha Guhyam Vishuddham Durbodham Yam Gnatva Mritamashnutim Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu. All these names he mentions. And last he says, Balir Vayasakir Vayam, I also. So, there are 12 personalities prominently who can understand Dharma. They are called Mahajans. I am also one of them. He just mentioned at the end his name. So, Dvadashaite Vijanimo Dharman Bhagavatan Bhataha. So, Bhagavata Dharma is understood by these 12 great personalities. So, by which one can understand, by which one can go back to Godhead also. So, most confidential religious principle is how one can be understood only. Most confidential religious principle can be understood only by one who is in bona fide sampradaya. Bhagavata Dharma is very confidential. Krishna spoke to Arjuna. It's very confidential, but I am speaking this to you because very dear to me. So, you are anasuyavi. If this principle is very rarely understood, what is the use of it? It is understandable by anyone if he follows the parampara system. If he agrees to follow parampara, then it's not rare. It's well known. But provided one has to follow the parampara. So, how many sampradayas are there? 4 are there. How many apasampradayas are there? So many are there. Right? So, initiated in an apasampradaya is a useless waste of time. So, like that, Yamaraj described about the Supreme Lord. Yamaraj also described about Vishnu Dutas and Dharma, Bhagavata Dharma. In the rest of the chapter, Yamaraj glorifies the process of chanting. So, thank you all very much. Granthraya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Tomorrow we will complete this chapter. And we will complete the 5th canto overview in the first half. And in the evening, we will complete 6th canto overview. Okay. That subjugating example I was giving, in my BT, I went for subjugating with earphones. So, I don't know what is the subji's name. So, I just took that peeling and then that peeler, right? You just... take out the, what is that called, skin of dudhi or something like that. So there is some vegetable like that with a very dark color cover. Radhavallapuru wanted that cover also. He had made a plan to cut it in a certain way. The cover also should be there. Peel also should be there. So I just took it and he was instructing. I was in my earphones. I just did it and one peel went off. I was given very merciful feedback. Right, he chastised me. So then I realized, oh, he is responsible. He has to cook for the devotees. He has to make lunch. And for that, sabji has to be in a certain fashion. And that has to complete at a certain time. So at that time, you can't expect quoting Gita verses and Bhagavatam verses and Krishna katha and all. Whatever has to be given to him, he has to be given. Ultimately for service. So, yeah, I just remembered that and then mentioned it without taking names. Now I revealed it. Because I am involved, I can say it.